This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Ace Fungicide from Syngenta for wheat growers who want to get a head start on head scab control. The Senate is back at it this morning. At least Republicans are making comments about why now is the time to move fiscal stimulus through the Senate, get it through the House, and get the president's signature. How important is the fiscal package? That's an important part of the conversation we'll be having today.
Live from undisclosed locations via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with Dr. Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics. Then it's Darren Kopic, President and CEO of the Ag Retailers Association. And finally, Rodney Wilson from the American Red Cross. And right after the news, Annalisa Laca from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm your pal, handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the beloved host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis Michelson, thank you so much, buddy.
Good morning, amigo.
Yeah, good morning to you. Good morning to you. We've got a lot to cover on today's show, including the fact that we've got the Dow up like 1,300 points was the last one that I saw. I suppose I should take another look here and try to figure out exactly what's going on. But it is an impressive recovery that is underway right now. And I think it's got a lot to do with the fact that they are committed to getting the stimulus package done today.
Okay. Okay.
Of course, they were committed to getting the stimulus package done yesterday.
Yes, they were.
And that
they were committed
before
they weren't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll have to see how it all plays out. But doggone, this is something that they need to get done. At least I think they do. That's one of the reasons that we've got Dr. Vince Malanga on the show today, try to figure out exactly what he thinks needs to be done. We were going to try to have him on yesterday, but just, got our wires crossed a bit with Vince, and today we're going to get him back on there. So looking forward
to it. Well, and there's been talk that the Fed may have used all its bullets.
That's what I want to talk
to get
about.
This going. And man, if it doesn't hold, what then? What then? Right. It'd be interesting to talk to Vince.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you that are not familiar with Vince Malanga, he has been a favorite of Pro Farmer members for 40 years now.
Yes.
He speaks at our conferences and our seminars, and to see him on stage and communicate with the people in the audience the way that he does, it comes through when we have a conversation with him on the radio as well. So it's good stuff.
For sure.
Good stuff.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Let's get to it.
Well, Chip, as we've been talking, U.S. and world stock indices are on the rise in wake of actions by several central banks to bolster the world's economies. Support stems from signs of compromise on the economic package worth more than $2 trillion that is being debated by lawmakers. Morgan Stanley predicts Thursday's jobless report, however, will show a massive jump in unemployment claims. Yeah. Purchasing managers' indices in Japan and Europe are expected to reveal the impacts of a service sector collapse alongside canceled travel plans by would-be tourists. The HIS Market Purchasing Managers Index fell sharply for both Germany and France from the prior month. And we're hoping we can get things restarted and get those back up and running. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see some of the economic data start to come in from those countries in Europe. That might give us a bit of a clear picture of what to anticipate going forward.
Well, and let me open this can of worms. On Capitol Hill, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin expect to come to an agreement on the Senate's Rescue Plan 3, which is designed to mitigate the financial impacts of coronavirus on American citizens. Yep. Democrats blocked action on the plan yesterday, seeking stronger protections for workers and restrictions for bailed out businesses. Yep. The Federal Reserve is anxious for the Senate bill to pass as it must replenish its exchange stabilization fund, and ag officials need funding approved for the Commodity Credit Corporation Corporation, or CCC, to fund financial assistance for farmers. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has forwarded her own 1,100-page plan, which does not include replenishing the CCC. But critics accuse the speaker of using the coronavirus crisis as leverage, as House Majority Whip James Clyburn of South Carolina was heard saying the crisis is a, quote, tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision. Chip.
Well, Senator Barrasso from Wyoming this morning put on the Senate record some of the things that are in the Pelosi bill.
Yes.
If he was making this stuff up, and when you first hear it, Davis, you think there's no way that that is in the Pelosi bill. There is no way that stuff like this is included in this coronavirus battle war bill. But it is. It's in there. It is absolutely shocking to me that, you know, no, it's not. It's not shocking to me. I mean, it's 1,100 pages, Davis. Do you think she whipped that up over the weekend, or was that sitting in a desk drawer waiting for the right moment to pull it out? It's disgusting.
Well, meanwhile, coronavirus cases worldwide number nearly 384,000 with 16,595 deaths reported. Here in the States, 46,450 cases have been reported with 555 deaths, according to Johns Hopkins. In a sign of progress, hard-hit Italy has reported declining deaths and infections for the past few days. At a press briefing yesterday, President Trump noted he expects economic activity to revive in the U.S. in weeks rather than months. And finally, a Sanderson Farm slaughterhouse worker in Mississippi is tested positive for the coronavirus, making the first publicly confirmed case in a U.S. slaughterhouse. Chip, since the employee was fairly isolated, the company said it does not plan to shut its doors.
Right,
Chip.
Right. That's very good. You know, the idea that President Trump is pushing right now that we're going to have to eventually get back to work, and the sooner the better, is getting a lot of criticism out there. It has to be part of the plan. We got to plan for it and try to figure out how it's going to look when we get to the other side of it. And
that's right.
We're going to talk about that more today with Dr. Malang as well. Annalisa Laca, editor of Farm Journal's Milk, joins us right now. Annalisa, how's the dairy industry doing handling and dealing with the COVID situation?
You know, Chip, I think it's different when we look at the on-farm impacts and then the processing. You know, in processing plants, we have contingency plans in place, like mentioned with Sanderson Farms, so that if there were a positive test, we would be able to divert milk for a few days or whatever needed to happen to make that continue. And on the farm, you know, we're starting to see some employment issues, but even more so, we're starting to see some cooperatives that are asking their members to reduce their milk supply. Foremost Farms sent a letter to their members over the weekend asking them to voluntarily reduce supply so that they don't end up having to dump milk. Yeah. And similarly, in the Northeast, Land O'Lakes sent a letter to their members also basically preparing them for the reality that they're going to dump milk. One of the things that is important to keep in mind is that we're also entering spring flush in the dairy industry, so we naturally have an influx of milk during this time, and it's not uncommon, particularly in the Northeast, for farmers to dump milk. So some of this is COVID related, some of it's spring flush related, but overall farmers are really struggling with managing that.
Yeah, and the supply side is something that you know, the hoarding and the stocking up issues can only give you so much demand. Eventually you've got to get back to a consistent demand base out there. We're not there yet when it comes to the dairy products. All right, Annalisa, we'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Thanks, Chip.
That's Annalisa Laca, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Coming up next, we've got Dr. Vince Malanga, LaSalle Economics, right here on AgriTalk. When it came to last year's wheat growing conditions, not all products came out on top. Today, I'm talking with Sarah Jahan, agronomy service representative for Syngenta. Sarah, the last time we spoke, we discussed the challenging conditions wheat growers experienced in 2019. Given the rainy weather and high disease pressure, how do you feel Miravis Ace performed last year?
Miravis ACE was a game changer. We've had research in Tennessee and Kentucky for the last few years, and it has been a step change in providing head scab control versus products currently on the market. And there's two reasons why. Number one, it's just intrinsically very active on head scab, but the length of residual to where we can put the chemistry on at 50% head emergence all the way straight through flowering and provide protection from head scab through the entire grain fill period. So huge advantage, not only just on the efficacy of Miravis ACE, but also the ability to have a wider application window, which allows the grower to get over more acres and more maturity ranges in a single application. So on average, when we put it out versus the other head scab products, we're providing anywhere from a 3 to a 12 bushel difference versus the other head scab products. So it's pretty significant for when it comes to not only yield, but what has been most surprising is test weight improvements. On average, for the last 3 years in replicated research in Kentucky and Tennessee, we've seen as much as a 2-pound difference in test weight. We have numerous growers reporting that not only did they see a difference in yield, but just driving the combine, they could see where the competitive product stopped being sprayed and Miravis ACE started. The wheat was much cleaner, much brighter, and that showed up just from the combine window.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah will be here again next week to give her 2020 recommendations, so make sure to tune in. To learn more about Miravis ACE, contact your local Syngenta sales representative or visit syngentaus.com/Miravis-ACE. Always read and follow label instructions.
Protect your investment and experience peace of mind with a PowerGuard Protection Plan from John Deere. Offering similar bumper-to-bumper coverage as your original factory warranty, PowerGuard has plans for both residential and commercial machines, from riding lawn equipment and utility tractors to combines and sprayers. With up to 7 years of total coverage available, PowerGuard extended warranties provide flexible monthly and hourly terms along with no or minimal deductibles. Ask your local John Deere dealer today about PowerGuard Protection Plans.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact ZR trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
AgriTalk is brought to you by 360 Yield Center. You can't afford to invest a dollar if you're not sure you'll get $2 back. Every 360 Yield Center product can do that. Find out how at 360ROICalculators.com. Something's wrong
with our eyes. All right. Welcome back. Davis, I was I remembered reading this someplace, couldn't remember where it was, and during the break I found it. It was in Pro Farmer's First Thing today. So on the item talking about Pelosi's 1,100-page bill that was released yesterday.
Yes.
The reminder was put in the coverage of this that House Majority Whip James Clyburn, Democrat from South Carolina, was heard last week advising Democrats and the caucus to view the crisis as a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like a willingness to deal with the emergency, or does that sound like a political agenda to you?
Just real quickly, Jim Wiesmeyer spelled some of these out in bullet points. It includes a Green New Deal mandate on airlines, election reform. Borrowers would not be allowed to pay a bonus to an executive or dividends to shareholders. Companies would have to provide stats on gender, race, ethnic identity of their board members. What? Why? What does this have to do with any of this?
Yeah, let's bring in Dr. Vince Malang. Vince is the president of LaSalle Economics out of New York City. Vince, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
How you doing, Chip?
Good, good, good. I think I'm doing okay. you know, it's just absolutely unprecedented times that we're dealing with, Vince. And Jay Powell has said that the Fed is going to do everything that it can do to keep us, to keep the country from dipping into a recession. Has the Fed done enough? Will it work? What needs to be done?
Well, first of all, we are in a recession. The economy hit a brick wall in the month of March. And, you know, right now we're facing immeasurable downside risks. We're going to have a double-digit decline in GDP in the second quarter. Not in the first quarter. The first quarter will probably show a small plus, but the second quarter will be big. And the big question now is, you know, how long it's going to last and how deep it's actually going to be. The Fed is doing its role, more than its role. The Fed is all in. Fed is ready to buy everything in order to keep financial markets stable. But, you know, the fact that financial markets are stable is not going to cause me to go out and get two haircuts. I'm desperately in need of a haircut here, but I'm also socially distancing and the like. And so as soon as the restrictions are lifted, I'm going to go out and get a haircut, but I'm not going to get two of them.
Right.
So we've, you know, so there's some permanent loss in output, and the question is how much permanent loss in output. And now, you know, Congress has to step up to the plate and do its part. And I think the stimulus that's being discussed is significant, and it's large, and it will do some comfort. And so that's number two. And then number three, you know, we really have to rely on the scientific community to come up with something that makes us feel comfortable and not thinking twice about going out and the like.
Yeah. You know, you say that the stimulus bill is, the fiscal bill is large. I mean, isn't it bigger than the budget? They're looking at spending more in one bill than they do in a year.
Well, you know, the stimulus could amount to, when leveraged, to about $6 trillion.
And, yeah.
You know, the fact is that the economy is losing, you know, that much in the second quarter. And so, you know, deficit be damned. We don't think about the budget at this time. We don't think about spending. We just have to do everything that's necessary in order to right this ship. We were hit by an act of God. And now we have to do everything to cushion the blow. So I don't mind the size of the stimulus. As far as I'm concerned, we're better off being too big than too small in order to combat this thing.
Okay. How does the Fed do what they plan to do? I mean, where does the money come from?
Well, the Fed is taking these securities on its balance sheet, and the balance sheet is going to explode. And they're going to increase bank reserves, and they're going to funnel liquidity into the system, essentially printing money. And the Fed's balance sheet will probably, you know, double in here, if not more, by the time this is over.
Okay. What does that mean for the value of the dollar going forward?
Well, you know, the dollar has been super strong, super strong so far because it's a port in a storm. And, you know, that's one of the problems is that there's been a shortage of dollar liquidity because the whole world wants dollars. I think once conditions start to calm down, the dollar will weaken as company, you know, as individuals and companies are willing to take on more risk. But right now it's a flight to safety, and so the dollar will stay strong. But, you know, everybody else in the world is doing this too. There's stimulus all over the world. The ECB is stepping up to the plate, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really a matter of confidence. Once confidence comes back into the economy, the dollar will start to soften up.
Okay. We're talking with Dr. Vince Malanga, president of LaSalle Economics. If you've got a question for Vince, now's the time to pick up the phone. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us, include hashtag AgriTalk in the message.
Hey, Chip, let me mention one thing just anecdotally. In 2008, when Treasury Secretary Paulson first presented his TARP legislation or his TARP program to the Congress, his request was written down on a page and a half. Mm-hmm. And by the time they got through writing the legislation was 2,200 pages long.
Right.
So keep that in mind as we work our way through this legislation.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
It's never a case where you keep it simple, stupid.
That's right. Vince, one of the numbers or one of the estimates, projections, whatever you want to call it, that has just kind of sent shivers up my spine came from St. Louis Fed Governor Bullard. 30% unemployment, a 30% unemployment. Can that happen?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's a lot of scare tactics in here. And the fact is that, you know, if they pass this legislation, strangely enough, if they pass the legislation, you may never actually see the kind of rise in unemployment that you otherwise would have, because this is the legislation is really meant to enable companies to keep their people on the payroll. Now, if they keep the people on the payroll without working, they're not eligible for jobless claims, and so they're not, and so they wouldn't be counted as unemployed in the statistics. And the whole idea of that is keep them on the payroll. Hopefully we get over this thing in the next month or two, so it makes it facilitates the process of getting the economy up and running again.
Right. Okay. Energy prices. You know, on one hand, the demand destruction is killing ethanol. It's pressuring corn. On the other hand, it's lowering costs, although you know, the damage done is probably more than offsetting the benefit of the lower fuel costs, isn't it, for farmers?
I think the real key for the energy market now is this spring, in the simple sense that with all this crap that's being produced around the world, at the end of the month, you know, there's no OPEC agreement, and so the other members of OPEC, in addition to Saudi, can produce however much they want. And the problem is here that in the spring, you know, we're going to be running out of storage. And if you run out of storage, the oil's got to go somewhere, and it's going to the risk is that prices could go sharply lower.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you watching most closely this week, Vince?
Well, you know, the economic data is starting to flow through. This week we're for the first time starting to get, you know, some data to reflect what's going on in March. We know the numbers have been strong in January and February, and because the numbers were so good in January and February, even though the shit hit the fan in March, the economy is still going to show positive growth for the first quarter. But clearly things, the data that's flowing out now is going to reflect weakness and significant weakness, particularly in the service sector of the economy. And today's numbers coming out of the market, the PMIs for the service and manufacturing sector show that. And so I think we're going to have to watch jobless claims now over the next couple of weeks. They will spike sharply higher.
Okay. All right. 30 seconds on this. What is the recovery? What does the start of the recovery look like?
Well, I'm hoping that the economy can sort of hit its low point sometime between the second half of April and the first half of May. But I wouldn't expect us to come roaring back. I expect a real slow slog in here. It's going to take a while to rebuild confidence. And if anything, China might be the model. China's hit bottom. Things are starting to improve in China, but it's not the kind of vibrant thing that they were hoping for.
Vince, can you be on call for us? Because we're going to need some more of this counsel going forward, dude.
I'll be around, kid.
Thanks. That's Dr. Vince Malanga. He is the president of LaSalle Economics. We're going to be relying on Vince quite a bit to figure out what's going on here. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
Precision Planting knows you want your plants to have the most consistent emergence possible this season because delayed emergence means yield loss. In order to do that, you need to know the cause of erratic emergence. We understand this can be difficult, which is why Precision Planting has researched over 10 million individual plants across the country to determine the causes of erratic emergence. What Precision Planting learned was that in order to achieve consistent emergence, you need to clear residue, maintain depth, eliminate compaction, sense soil moisture, firm seed, and close the furrow with no evidence the planter was ever there. How do you get all these things right during the planting pass? That's what the Precision Planting Emergence System was designed for. Contact a Precision Planting dealer today to add the Precision Planting Emergence System to your planter or visit precisionplanting.com/emergence to learn more. Make 2020 a year that your fields have consistent emergence of every plant, leading to a high yield potential. Avoid the revenue loss and regret that comes with erratic emergence and instead be proud of your stands.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, let's go to the meats first. A big plus day going on in the cattle complex.
Yeah, we're limit up, Chip, in live cattle. They have expanded limits of $4.50 today, and we're trading at those expanded limits. Feeder cattle also have expanded limits, trading mostly limit higher, $6.75 there. The March contract for the last three trading days has a $10 limit. It is not testing that. It's up just over $3 at the moment. But that's the market that has the extra expanded limit for these last three trading days.
Nothing like changing the rules late in the game on that March contract, huh?
Yeah, who knows what the reasoning is. They said it was a divergence between the cash and the futures and that type of stuff, but we've got the futures trading well in front of where the cash index is right now.
Right. Okay. All right. We've got some strength going in the hog market as well, but let's hop over to corn. Still having a tough time finding any buying interest.
Yeah, demand concerns that we've talked about, on top of the exports that were the concern, now the ethanol side, and we've touched on that here recently, but more plants not accepting corn, slowing production, some maybe closing, those types of things really making it difficult to find buyers in the corn market.
What about soybeans and wheat today?
Well, the wheat market, it retraced, the May SRW contract retraced 62% of the big down move. So it's pulling back a little bit. And then the bean market retraced 38% of their move. We are seeing some unwinding in the product markets with oil up and meal down today.
That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Started the show, the Dow was up about 1,300. It's now up about 1,400. We just got the update.
All right.
On what's going on in the ag commodities from Brian Grady at Pearl Farmer. Don't read me wrong on this, okay? We've got a little bit of pressure going on in corn again today. It's a build on to the pressure that we have seen. Soybeans, a little bit of pressure. Wheat setting back a bit here. It feels like a consolidation day, even with the lower prices in here. It really does. It feels like a consolidation day, and hopefully it's one that we can build on after the strong gains that we posted in soybeans and wheat yesterday, Davis. That would, if this is all that we give up from yesterday's gains for soybeans and wheat, I'll call it a win. I'll call it a win, and we'll take it.
Yeah, we'd prefer a stepping action back toward the upside rather than a straight-up move in a single day or a couple of days.
There you go.
Yeah, I agree.
There you go. Very good. Very good. All right. Let's bring in Darren Kopic. He is the president and CEO of the Ag Retailers Association. Joins us right now. Darren, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm good, Chip. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. Darren, we talked about it in the last segment with Dr. Malanga about how we're into some unprecedented times, obviously. Ag retailers, the relationship that they've got with producers, farmers across the country, it's a unique relationship as well. And a lot of it depends so much on face-to-face and that personal contact, Darren. How has COVID-19 changed that?
Well, it's been a challenge because, as you pointed out, the direct on-the-farm contact is what really makes that relationship valuable. So a lot of them, if not all of them, have converted to doing it all by phone. If you're dropping off something, make sure you don't touch each other when you're doing it. Maintain your spacing. They've had to change processes about how they handle bills of lading on shipment. One retailer was telling me the other day about using a cellophane envelope so that the same person doesn't have to touch the same piece of paper. So there's lots of protections that they're doing to keep their people safe and their customers' people safe.
Yeah, I'm even hearing stories about, for guys that are dumping grain, they're using hand signals. There's no talking to each other. There's no picking up the scale tickets. The scale tickets are being emailed afterwards. Are those the kind of things that are happening, Darren?
Yeah, I think so. When somebody wants to come to a retail store to pick up a load of whatever it is they've ordered, retailers are asking them to call in advance. The order will be ready for them to pick up when they get there. Yeah. Minimize the person-to-person contact while that load out happens. So they're still doing everything they possibly can to serve those growers.
Right.
In this weird kind of a situation we're in.
Okay, so let's set the expectations here, Darren. What should producers expect from ag retailers right now?
Well, everybody in the industry knows that this is the most important season of the year, no matter which geography you're in, as far as ag's concerned. And so our focus the last few weeks or days has been making sure that whenever states or the federal government announce shutdown measures or shelter-in-place measures or whatever it is they do, that they rely on the DHS's definition of critical sectors, which exempts agriculture from those restrictions. And as long as that definition holds and as long as the states interpret it uniformly, then retailers are still going to be able to be in business and serve their customers. That's just kind of a foundational thing that we had to make sure was in place and sticks. And we're continuing to watch that real closely. Otherwise, as long as that all happens, the retailers are going to be able to supply the growers with what they need to do their crops this year. There's not a whole lot of concern that I've heard about inbound supply chain limitations, including technical grade or inputs from China. I think most of that's already in the pipeline for the 2020 crop year.
Okay.
So I think the retailers are going to be able to serve the grower as they always do, as long as they can stay open.
Yeah. And conversely, okay, what can farmers do to make it easier for the ag retailers to do their job? And I don't want farmers, don't read me wrong on this. Okay. Retailers need to help you do your job, but to do that, maybe you can help them do their job too. So from a retailer's perspective, Darren, what should farmers be thinking about to make it easier for the retailers to do their job?
Probably the most helpful thing will be if they just make that call ahead of time and say, I need a load of this product. Okay. When can I pick it up? So that the retailer is prepared to load it out. They don't have to talk through the window of the truck about what it is they want or walk through the warehouse together to find it. So I think that advanced notice communication and just some flexibility will go a long way.
Yeah. Okay. One thing that I've been thinking about, Darren, as a media company that has offices spread all over the country, it seems like, we do a lot of video conferencing here at Farm Journal, okay? Are retailers asking farmers to do some of that video conferencing? Because I'm not saying that farmers are not used to technology, but I am saying that this might be a piece of technology that many farmers haven't used before. So the video conferencing, are retailers finding that useful?
I know that they're transferring more of those conversations online. I don't know whether that's primarily email or telephone or whether they're actually using video conference for that.
Okay.
My guess would be that if they have a presentation of research results or what they would normally do in somebody's barn with coffee and donuts, that would probably go to a video conference platform. Internally, those retailers certainly are making more use of it. We are within the ARA Association. We're all virtual as of a week ago Monday and trying out some new technology tools to make sure we can keep our business going.
Right, right. Darren, I find it interesting that you were talking about the supply chain and how it doesn't it appears that we've got all the inputs that are going to be needed for the 2020 crop season. Does that apply to fertilizer supplies as well?
That's a great question. And I should have clarified that I was speaking mostly about pesticide products.
Okay.
Fertilizer is such a just-in-time product.
Yeah.
That if the orders haven't been placed ahead of time, it may be ways away in the pipeline before it can actually get delivered to the field. And that's why you asked earlier about what can help the most. Advanced communication is the best thing. Yeah. If a retailer knows that they've got to get a load of fertilizer in, the earlier they know that, the better they can serve the grower. And boy, after 2008-09 period when retailers bought fertilizer that wasn't sold, a lot of them learned some painful lessons during that period, and they're not going to do it again.
Well, it changed the industry. It sure just did. Changed the industry forever. So, yeah. Davis, jump in here. Are you hearing anything on the fertilizer side as far as any interruptions, disruptions in supplies?
I haven't, but I would definitely echo, and this has been one of the hallmarks of what I've written, especially going into a year like this, is get in touch with your preferred retailer and just, have that conversation. Maybe you're not ready to pull the trigger today, but let's at least get that conversation going and talk ahead of time, like he said, so that they can be ready when we get that window and it's go time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Darren, from your perspective there at the Ag Retailers Association, what is the perfect end of this? Let's see. How do I explain this? When we have an end of the social distancing and we've got a return to normal, I mean, is the perfect conclusion to this just kind of like picking it up and everything that has needed to be done has already been done and it's back to business as usual?
Well, the ideal solution is, Harry Potter finds a cure, waves his wand, and this thing goes away.
Yeah, but amen to that.
I'm not sure we're that's realistic. I we started the talk with the fact about how face-to-face interactions and walking the ground with the grower and that personal boots on the ground approach is what the retailer really brings to the table.
Right.
And so we'll have to get back to that. It can't all be virtual, as hard as people are trying to do that. We'll need to get back to that kind of a relationship as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. We need to get back to that that kind of a relationship and make it happen. So what else? What else, Darren? What do we need to know from the retailers? What message do you have from the retailers out to the producers?
Well, there have been a number of areas where a lot of ag groups here in Washington have been working together on some regulatory issues. We sent a very detailed letter to the president late last week asking for some relief from transportation regulations. Okay. We've seen when DOT put out their modified hours of service that applied only to medical supplies, that people who normally would haul ag goods stopped hauling them because they could haul the medical stuff that wasn't subject to hours of service.
Okay.
And so we've asked them, hey, that's an unintended consequence. Can you include our ag critical industry in that same exemption? We've got issues with people that have CDLs. Their license is expiring, but the DMV is closed and they can't go get them replaced.
Right.
So we're asking for extensions. It's that kind of stuff that we're spending most of our time chasing down these days.
Gotcha.
To make sure unintended consequences don't shut us down.
Excellent. Excellent. Hey, Darren, that is obviously an important function of what you're doing there. Good luck, Darren. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. And let us know how things are progressing out there. We'll stay in touch, okay?
Very good. Thanks, Chip.
All right. That is Darren Kopic. He is the president and the CEO of the Agricultural Retailers Association. Okay. Speaking of unintended consequences, we have a shortage of blood in this country right now. We'll explain why with Rodney Wilson from the American Red Cross next.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Joining us now is Kurt Wolfolk. He is a senior agronomist with the Mosaic Company. And Kurt, as we start getting ready for the 2020 growing season, after coming off of a challenging 2019, what do you recommend? What's the best way to get off to a good start?
Yeah, absolutely, Chip. I mean, I think it's no big shock. It's something we talk about over and over again is I think everybody appreciates the fact that 2019 is in the rearview mirror now and just wants to look forward and try to make 2020 as successful as possible. And you know, we sometimes go back to the fundamentals as we've had years, whether it was the spring of 19 at planting time, or even the areas of the country that fall apply fertilizer, our crop nutrition. We missed opportunities in both of those in a lot of our geography. So really coming back now in the spring of 2020, as we come into the planting season, go back to those basics, as fundamental as they seem, and look at soil testing. Make sure you've got the planter finally honed and ready for that planting season. I really tell people, look at the yield data, the yield. If you have a yield monitor on your combine, look at your yield monitor data, not just from 19, because that was a bit of an anomaly for a lot of us, but look over previous years along with that soil test information. And if you have any tissue test information, you kind of take those three data points or pieces of information going forward and say, okay, where are those fuel tanks? When we think about different nutrients in the soil, there are 17 essential nutrients to concentrate on and 8 micronutrients. And where do each one of those set? Where do those fuel tanks for nutrients need to be to maximize production on my farm?
Very good. All right. Thank you so much. That is Kurt Wolfolk. He is a senior agronomist with the Mosaic Company.
Please join us at cropnutrition.com for more information about balanced crop nutrition for your farm.
Les Monroe is from Macon, Missouri.
I'm a big believer in Olivo. I love the product. We use it on almost all the soybeans we treat. It helped reduce the SDS as well this year. We didn't see a lot of SDS pressure in places, but the hidden robber, which is soybean cyst nematodes, I like the control of that. So performance-wise, it's been very good. Some of our early planted beans came out of the ground, done very well. We've had some very good performance on those. And surprisingly, the latter planted beans are still going in the 50s in some areas, some much more than that in places. We've got beans that are some field averages in the 70s and 80s. Overall, most of those fields that I'm discussing had Olivo on them, so it did help against soybean cyst nematodes and everything as far as root health below the soil line, as well as SDS pressures. I would recommend Olivo to everyone first. It's going to pay for itself every year.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Olivo is a registered trademark of BASF, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, a national partnership to help farmers scale conservation for their businesses, the environment, and their communities. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Davis, I tell you what, it's really good to hear from Darren there about how the retailers are trying to keep it as business as usual as they possibly can, even though the lines of communication have changed through all of this. And every time that it was almost every comment that Darren made, I was going back to what we've been talking about for years on AgriTalk, and that is, do not go dark on your suppliers. Do not go dark on your finance. Use them. Partner with them. Partner with them.
And help them out.
And help them out. Help them help you. What a concept, huh?
Yeah,
what a concept. And then when he started talking about the unintended consequences there at the end, that got me.
Oof.
Yeah. That got my head kind of spinning a little bit there. And talk about just having to put out fires constantly for those guys and make sure that we can do business as close to usual as we possibly can is very important.
Well, and bearing in mind, there's no stopping the season. You know, come what may among us humans here.
That's right.
The earth is going to be ready for planting soon here, and we got to be ready to roll. And it would behoove you to have your ag retailer up to speed on what you're going to need.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Speaking of the unintended consequences.
Yes.
We are joined now with Rodney Wilson. Rodney is with the American Red Cross. Rodney, thank you so much for making time for us today. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
You bet. Rodney, I'm looking at redcross.org right now, and right on the front page of the website is severe blood shortage due to coronavirus outbreak. the blood drives, the cancellation of the blood drives. Again, it's one of the unintended consequences that the country is dealing with.
Yeah, I think as we're going through the situation with coronavirus, there are a lot of side effects from the social distancing and the canceling lots of public events. And one of those side effects that we're seeing is that many blood drives are being canceled.
Yeah.
So far across the country, the Red Cross has seen more than 200,000 blood donations canceled in the last couple weeks. So that's really quite staggering. We've never seen anything like that.
Right.
So if we don't have the blood coming in, then we won't have it to provide to hospitals for patient care. So that's a big concern.
Right. Absolutely. Now, I think we need to be clear here. Well, I don't know. When you get right down to it, we're not talking about blood needed for the coronavirus patients. We're just talking about we're just talking about normal, if there is such a thing,
right?
Blood needs.
Yeah, right. During this time, a lot of hospitals are postponing what they call elective care, things
right.
that can wait. But there are many things that can't wait, such as cancer treatments,
yeah.
or a woman gives birth and she hemorrhages.
Right.
A newborn baby often needs blood products to survive if it's premature.
Yeah.
Accidents, automobile accidents, motorcycle accidents. Now, those things will cause those patients to need blood transfusions, and that's going to continue even in the face of a pandemic. Hospitals will need to be able to treat those patients, but when we're seeing so many blood drives cancel,
yeah.
People don't have places where they can go to give blood, that it's going to compromise patient care.
Right. Now, Rodney, obviously the blood drives are the number one way that the American Red Cross increases their blood supply. If I want to go give blood right now, can I? Where do I do it? How do I arrange it?
Yeah, so the schedule is changing almost daily, really, as we see more and more cancellations coming in. So the best way to find those current blood donation opportunities local for you is to go to our website. Everything is updated there in real time. So you can find blood drives at redcrossblood.org. And you can put in your zip code, you can select a date range, and it will pull up blood drives for you. So especially for people who might live more in a rural area, for rural areas, we may only have a couple of blood drives a month. So if that's the case, those blood drives may have canceled, which means it might be a longer amount of time before there's a blood drive in your area. So you can expand the date range further out. Look more than 10 days out when you're looking at, or for the next month. To see what might be available for you in the next month in a certain mile radius around where you live. You can increase the mile radius as well as you're doing searches.
Okay, very good. The bottom line is the Red Cross needs to increase the blood supply. We need to find ways to donate, and we need to find ways to do it now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, statistics show that 97% of us know someone who's received a blood transfusion, whether we realize it or not. Even in my own life, I had a cousin that had cancer, and he needed blood through that. My brother was in a car accident and needed blood. My father had heart surgery and needed blood. So,
my mother has needed blood transfusions this year, Rodney, so yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, think about who in your life has needed blood, and someone gave that blood.
Right.
So this is something that you can do, something real that you can do to help people in this challenging time, is make sure the hospitals have the blood they need.
Yep. Rodney, thank you so much for what you do. We appreciate you. And when you've got a message that you need to get out to rural America, Rodney, give us a holler.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. That is Rodney Wilson with the American Red Cross. Yeah, scary time right there, Davis. We've come to assume that the Red Cross is going to be there with the blood drives. Well, they're not there right now.
It's just one of the many things in short supply.
Yeah, it's one of the side effects.
In this time.
Yeah,
yep,
he explained it very well. It's one of the side effects. Another one of those side effects, the mental health aspects of this, the social distancing. You guys, reach out to your neighbors. Give them a call. Yep. Just make sure that they're okay. Make sure they're okay. Listen for a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got to come back this afternoon. Glenn Ring from Glenn Ring Enterprises View on Futures will be right here on AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EnzUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EnzUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EnzUp at Brandt.co. Thanks to Miravis Ace Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Ace to get a head start on head scab control. Always read and follow label instructions.